today a new series of shiurim on Hilchas Birchas Hanenim. First we'll talk about some general kolalim, and then we'll talk about the Brachas Pratius. Gemara in Brachas and Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph has the famous statement that Asur Lehonos Min HaOlam Hazeh Velo Bracha. One is not allowed to derive any benefit from this world without a bracha. B'chol Anena Ki'ilu Mal. Someone who's Nene, who derives benefit from the world without a bracha Rishona, it Ki'ilu Mal, it's like he's Mal Behekdesh. The Gemara brings a raya to that from Sukkim. One of the Amoraim is Stira. It says, L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Mulawa. And on the other hand, it says, L'Hashemayim L'Hashem Ha'aretz Nasan L'Vnei Adam. It's not a Stira. Does the Ha'aretz belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does it belong to B'nei Adam? So the Gemara answers, Kan Kodem Bracha, Kan La'acha Bracha. So it sounds like Kodem Bracha, if the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and someone is Nenem in Olam Hazeh Velo Bracha, he's Mo'al, like Mo'al B'Hakdash. What's the din? Is bracha rishona a din daraisa, or is it only a din darabonim? So the Gemara at the beginning there of the sixth parak of brachas quotes different makoros to explain why we have to make a bracha rishona. But the maskon of the Gemara seems to be that it's a svara. The kroah is just an asmachta ba'alma. It's just a svara. That also lehonas min olam is ebul abrach. It sounds like it's a din darabonim. That's what Tosis there writes on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. It's really only a din rabbanan. Yes, there are some brachos that are daraisa. The Gemara in Brachos Adav Chof Aleph Amud Aleph notably says the Brichas Hamazon, Brichas HaTorah, those are brachos daraisa, and they derive them from Sukkim. The Rishonim have a debate with the bracha Achas Me'en Sholosh, Ala Michya, Ala Geffen. Is that daraisa or is that darabbanan? Okay, is it similar to Brichas Hamazon or not? But the din of bracha rishona seems to be a din derabon. That's how the rishonim conclude. L'chora the nafkemina would be le'inyan safek. Let's say a person is eating and he forgets. He doesn't know. Did he make a bracha rishona or not? So we normally assume sveka b'arayis l'chum and sveka rabonim l'kula. So you'd imagine that if the chiyuv of bracha rishona is only midrabonim, so if you have a safek, you don't have to make another bracha. In fact, maybe even to be machmer on oneself would be inappropriate because that would be a safek bracha shena tzricha. So maybe it makes sense. Safek brachas lahogel. One should not make the bracha because it's only a din derabbanan. We should go l'kula by sveka derabbanan. So therefore one shouldn't make the bracha. But some of the achronim point out that it's not so simple because since by bracha rishona there really are two different elements. Besides the mitzvah to make the bracha, there's an iser me'ila to be nenem in ha'olam hazeh below bracha. So it could be that even though Sveika Drabana Lakula should tell me that if I have a Safik Bracha, Safik Mitzvah, then I don't have to do it, but maybe the Safik Me'ila, maybe the fact that there's this Me'ila, this Issa Me'ila, maybe we should be more Machmir when it comes to Bracha, so that we won't violate this Issa Me'ila. In fact, the Marshoim Sochim on Daf Kuf Beis raises such an idea that maybe bracha is different. If you're talking about a Safik Mitzvah Derabbanan, maybe Sveik Derabbanan Lekul applies to Safik Mitzvah Derabbanan. But not necessarily to Safik Issa Derabbanan. Maybe the Issa Me'ila. In the Chorah, we do say Sveik Derabbanan Lekul by Yisur Derabbanan too. But somehow this Issa Me'ila, the Achronim want to say, might be more Chamra. Maybe we should say that if you have a Safik, whether you made the bracha, then maybe you shouldn't continue eating. Right? Maybe you shouldn't continue eating. I guess over here you can avoid the Issa Me'ila by not continuing to eat. So maybe it should be also to continue to eat. The Shulchan Aruch, though, doesn't pass in this way. In Aruch Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchas Brachas, and Simen Kuf Samach Zai, and Siftes Paskin, that if one is Mesupuk, but he made the bracha Rishona or not, he doesn't have to make another bracha, and he can continue eating. The Mishnah Berurah does comment that if one can be yotzei the bracha from someone else, he should. Someone else hasn't made the bracha. You sit down in the calf to eat, and you forget if you're in the middle of a conversation with someone, you forget if you made the bracha, then someone else sits down. So you should ask him to be motzi you in the bracha. The question is, why is the din that if there's no one else to be motzi you, why does the Shulchan Aruch paskin that you don't have to be machmir? There is a Safek Me'ila. Safek Me'ila. Maybe that Safek Me'ila is not midrabbanan. Maybe we should say that that's a Me'ila daraisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. So you like Moab Hagdish. So maybe that Safek Me'ila is taka Safek daraisa. How can we be Mekel on the Safek Me'ila? So the answer that some of the Achronim give is that there are two elements to Birchas Nenim. Birchas Hananin is a mitzvah and is an isser, as we said. The question is, are these two independent concepts, or does one stem from the other? It could be that the isser me'ilah stems from the mitzvah shiva. It's not an independent isser. If it were an independent isser, then we can pilpul, is this an isser deraisa or not? But if the whole isser stems from the mitzvah, so if Sveika Rabbanan Lakula tells me that when I have a suffik bracha, suffik mitzvah Rabbanan, I don't have to do it again, like if someone has a suffik, if he read the Megillah, or if he has a suffik, if he made a birchas hamitzvah, and his tzitzis, or his tefillin, whatever, so then he doesn't have to make it again. So the same holds true over here. If birchas hananin is a mitzvah, so then al suffik mitzvah, you wouldn't have to make the bracha. Aye, but there's an issa me'ila. It could be that the issa me'ila stems from the mitzvah. Because there's a mitzvah to make a birchas hananin, so if you don't make a birchas hananin, it's like you're more behagdish. You're taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's things. But it could be that if Sveika Rabbanan Lakula tells me that I don't have to make a bracha when there's only a safek mitzvah, the Rabbanan is taka lakula, so then it could be that there's no iser me'ila. If the iser me'ila stems from the mitzvah, and b'makom safek, I don't have to make another bracha mitzvah the mitzvah, so then mitzvah the iser me'ila, perhaps there's no chiyuv either. And that's the answer that somebody Acharonim gave. That it's not as though Birchas Hananin has two different independent elements, one mitzvah and the other iser. Rather, it could be that the whole iser me'ila stems from the mitzvah. So if b'makom safek I can be megal for the mitzvah, then there is no iser. The iser falls away because b'makom safek I can be megal for the mitzvah. Questions? Okay. The chiyuv to make a bracha rishona is if a person is nene from the maicha, if he derives any benefit. Any benefit, any small benefit. That's why there's no shir. When it comes to bracha rishona, even on a mashu, there's an obligation to make a bracha rishona. The bracha achrona, so then we need a shir. Bracha achrona is a different halacha. It's not because of the nene. It's different. Different. You need a shear. So if it's if you eat something, so then you have to have a kezias in order to make a bracha achrona. If one drinks something, that's a big machlokas with the shear. Is it a revias? Is it a malol lugma of half a revias, a cheekful? Is it a kezias when it comes to drinking as well? It's a big machlokas what the shear is when it comes to drinking. But that's bracha achrona. For bracha rishona, there's no requirement of shear. Even if you have a kol shu, you have to make a bracha. Because you're nana, and also lehonas min olam hazeh b'lo brachas, even b'kolshu there's a chiyuv bracha rishona. What's more, there's only a chiyuv to make a bracha rishona if one has intention to be nana. Meaning it's not enough just to eat a kezayis, but you have to have intention to be nana. What am I referring to? Yimar brachas and daf yidal, it says that if someone is towing, let's say someone tastes food, he's not intending to eat, he just is tasting, he wants to see whether the cholent tastes good, Erev Shabbos. You know, he's tasting to see if the food needs salt or not. So the Gemara in Bracha says that Mat'em es eina tuna bracha. Someone who tastes doesn't have to make a bracha rishon. Because he's not nene. He's not nene from the maichel. He's just toy. He's not really nene from the maichel. He doesn't have a kavonas hanok. Now, what does that mean that you're Mat'em es, that you're tasting? It's a big machlokes rishon in what the Gemara means. But everyone agrees that if you spit it out, you put it into your mouth, taste, and then spit it out, toeim upolate, so then there's no chiyuv bracha. The Rambam has a very interesting chiddush. The Rambam says even if you're boleya, even if you swallow the food, as long as your kavana is not to be nene, not to eat, but rather just to taste, there's no chiyuv bracha. As long as you didn't swallow a kezayis. Right? So if you didn't swallow a kezayis, and you don't have kavana sachila, no intent to eat, to be nana, but rather just to taste, then the Rambam says it's not chiyuv bracha. But if you swallow a kezayis, so then even the Rambam would say, even if your intention is to be toim, it doesn't matter, because once you swallow kezayis, you can't call that te'ima. That, by definition, automatically is viewed as achila, so you're going to have to make a bracha on that. That's the Rambam sheet, the fascinating sheet, that even if toim, uboleya, even if you taste and you swallow, it's no chiyuv bracha unless you eat a kezayis. So what do we do? Well, what should a person do if he wants to swallow? Does he make the bracha? Not make the bracha according to the Rambam. He wouldn't make the bracha if he's swallowing less than a kezayis. And that's very common. Those people who are tasting are not going to taste more than a kezayis. Take just a little bit. So the poskim say, in order to prevent oneself from entering into a chashash of suffik bracha, if you want to swallow what you're tasting, you don't want to spit it out. You want to swallow it. If you want to swallow, what you should do, the best thing to do is to have kavana to be nana. Take it and have kavanah to be nana, because if you have kavanah to be nana, even the Rambam would say that you're chayav to make a bracha, even if it's less than a kezayis. So have kavanah to be nana, don't just taste it. Tanach Kavanat Veinana, this is what the Mishnah Berurah makes. Simon Reish Yud, Sukkot Yutas. Tanach Kavanat Veinana, then it's not called Te'ima anymore. If it's not called Te'ima, then you'll have a Chiyuv Baracha according to him. Okay. The halacha is that if someone eats and forgets to make a Baracha Rishona, then he realizes, it's not easy, he doesn't have a suffix, he realizes he didn't make a Baracha Rishona, but he finished eating, so then he doesn't make a Baracha Rishona after eating. Doesn't make any bracha after. He makes a bracha achrona. He doesn't make a bracha rishon anymore. This is the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Hol v'idchi idchi. Once it's pushed off, meaning once the time passed that you could make the bracha rishon, and you didn't make the bracha rishon, idchi, that's it, it's pushed off. You don't make the bracha rishon afterwards. What's pshar? Rav wanted to suggest that maybe the idea is that Bracha Rishon is a matir. Bracha Rishon is a matir for the Isser Me'ila. So if it's a matir, there's no matir l'mafreya. Can't be matir l'mafreya. Retroactively, we're going to be matir. You've got Hano already. You can't be matir the Hano after you've gotten the Hano. Prospectively, you can be matir. But because there's an Isser Me'ila, so Bracha Rishon is a matir for that Isser Me'ila. You can't be matir l'mafreya. Only mikan lahaba. So once you already ate, so then you can't make a bracha l'mafreya. You can't make a bracha after eating. Of course, if you intend to eat more, let's say you remembered in the middle of the suda, so then make a bracha, but not on what you already ate. Your bracha is on the next food that you're going to eat. So that's okay. That's a matir mikan lahaba, but a matir l'mafreya. We never find such an idea. So maybe that's pshat in the Gemara that once you eat, if you forgot the bracha rishon, it's fafalim. You can't make the bracha anymore. Gemara in Brachas has another very interesting halacha, another din kloli in Bracha Rishona. Gemara in Daf Mem in Brachas. What's the din if someone speaks between the bracha and the eating? Soch bein bracha la'achila. So the Gemara says you have to make another bracha, you have to be chozer mevarich. Why? Because the bracha can't be chal on the achila if there's a hefsek between the bracha and the eating. So you have to make another bracha. But says the Gemara, if you mafsik l'tzarech achila, then you don't have to be chozer mevarich. L'tzarech achila, like hove li melach, if you're mega hamotzi, then you tell someone, bring me salt. You forgot to ask for the salt before, but you need the salt for the bracha. It's a whole discussion unto itself. When is it really ma'akev? In certain circumstances, probably not ma'akev to have the salt. But, not for now. Right? Is a pas nekiyah or not a pas nekiyah? That's the question. There are different reasons for adding the salt. But let's assume that the salt is necessary for the mitzvah, for the bracha, for the achila. That's not a hefsek. It's not a hefsek. Even though you did speak between the bracha and the achila, it's not a hefsek because it's tzarech achila. So then there's no chiyuv to make another bracha. It's very important to be careful when one is eating, not to speak until one swallows. That's what achila means. It means swallowing. Very often a person sits down with a bunch of friends and they'll make brachas and they're in the middle of a conversation and you don't realize it takes a little bit of time before you chew and then you swallow. So if you're going to continue the conversation before swallowing, that could be a problem of hefsek between the bracha and the achila. You have to be careful. Make a bracha and then be careful to swallow before you actually continue speaking. Here's a comment that the Shalom makes that the Magen Avraham quotes, that if someone already chews a little bit, maybe he wouldn't have to make another bracha if he starts speaking. Le'isa, once he's low ace, once he chews a little bit, Shalom HaKadosh wants to say, maybe there is no chiyuv to make another bracha. Why? Because that le'isa is l'shem achila, it's the beginning of the process of eating, so maybe we should call that aschalta d'achila. Maybe that should be called the beginning of the achila. So once it's the beginning of the achila, then the bracha has been chal on the achila, even though you haven't actually swallowed. That's what the Shalom suggests. But the Mishnah Berurah is not convinced it's correct. Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin Sifkot Lamed Hay writes that at least there's a tzarach Ian. He's not sure if you should have to make another bracha if you already chewed. So says the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Alocha quotes the Chai Adam who's Machria that even if you haven't swallowed, as long as you started chewing and you swallowed some of the saliva that has the taste of the food in it, that can sometimes happen. You put a big piece in your mouth and you're chewing a little bit and you swallow a little bit, not the full piece because it's not fully chewed up, but you still swallow. That's what often happens, actually. If you take a piece of bread, let's say, into your mouth, and you start to chew, so you might not necessarily chew the whole thing up before swallowing. You might chew a little bit. But then you'll swallow, even if you don't swallow any part of the bread, you'll swallow some of the saliva, but that has tam of the bread in it. So the Chayyadim says that as long as you swallowed something that has the tam of the food in it, then you would not have to make another bracha. That's already considered the achila. The achila has begun, the choladeus, right? So once the achila has begun, then you wouldn't have to make another bracha. So that's a kula. It's a good kula to keep in mind. But the best thing is to swallow, to wait, not to jump to continue talking, but rather to make the bracha, then to chew and swallow. It's an Eitzah Tova anyway, because you could choke if you start to speak in the middle of eating. That is a halach in Shulchan Aruch. You're really not supposed to speak when you're eating. But Mitzad Hilchos Bracha says, well, you might have a problem. So it's best to try to swallow first, at least the first morsel, before you continue speaking. Question, though? Okay. Let's talk about some of the brachos proteins. Let's start with Hamotzi. Birchas Hamotzi. So the bracha of Hamotzi is recited on lechem, right, on bread. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Lechem. What's called lechem? So we find there's another area of halacha for which you need a din lechem. Not just for brachas, but for hilchas challah. Hilchas challah. Pasuk says in Parsha Shlach, "V'hoyah v'acholcha milechem ha'aretz tarimus shumah l'Hashem." When you eat from the lechem ha'aretz, you have to give truma. Chal is called a truma; it's like a truma. So you see that filchas chala, there's only a chiyuv to give chala on lechem. So it's very instructive. We have to look at filchas chala and see what defines lechem for chala, and that will extrapolate probably. That will apply to filchas brachas as well. So what Taka does define lechem vis-a-vis filchas chala? So we know, in the creation of bread, there are two stages. There's the lisha and the afia. Right? There's the kneading, the preparation of the dough, and then there's the baking of the dough. Lisha and afia. That's the normal way to make bread. With the kneading of the dough and the baking of the dough. So if a person makes bread with a dough, right? He has a blila of what they call a thick dough, a blila of a blila of a dough, and then he bakes the dough. So then clearly that's going to be called bread. There's a chiyuv and challah. Won't have to make hamotzi on such a height. The question is, let's say you only have one part of these two processes. Let's say you either only have the blila ava, but then you don't do afia. Let's say you do bishul. Let's say you cook the dough. Well, let's say you have afia, you bake something, but it's not a blila ava. It's not a dough. Can you think of baking something that's not a dough? Sure, you can bake a batter. That's called a blila raka. A blila raka, a soft mixture. Blila means a mixture. So you can either have a soft mixture, that's called a batter, or you can have a blila ava, which is called a dough. What's the din? Is it called lechem if you have only one of these two processes, or only if you have both of them? So let's first take the case of the isa with bishul. You have a blila ava, but you didn't have afia, you didn't bake it, but rather you cooked it. According to most rishonim, it's not called lechem. It's not called bread, it's not going to be chayav and challah. Because there's no afia, there's no chayav and challah. The Ramah in Hilchos Brachos writes that's the minhag. Simen kuf samaches sif yud gimel. There are some rishonim that are machmir, but basically Rav Rishonim now make it, it's not called lechem, and the Ramah says that's the minhag that we found. And we're making to assume that without afia, they can't be called lechem. It's for this reason that on foods like noodles or spaghetti, you make a mezonos. You don't make a hamotzi. Spaghetti and noodles are made exactly in this way. There is a blila ava. It is a dough. But then you cook the dough. You don't bake the noodles. You don't bake the spaghetti. That gets a mezonos. It doesn't get hamotzi because it's not called lechem. Similarly, donuts. Donuts you make a mezonos on as well. Because they're deep fried. They're deep fried in oil. Right? They're deep fried in oil. anyone who sees how donuts are made, it's really very hard to eat donuts in dinner. It's just so, well, really deep fried in oil. So that's like bishul. Deep fried is not a shayla. Frying, tinglin is a shayla in poskim. Does that have a din of bishul? Does that have a din of tzli? But not deep frying. Deep frying is, I mean, what's the difference? It's, you know, you could cook in water, you can cook in oil. It's not called frying, it's really called cooking. We just call it deep fry, but that's really the same as cooking. So donuts, we get them as onus. Doesn't matter that it's a blila ava, even with the blila ava, it's still, there's bishul, so therefore it only gets them as onus. The Rambam happens to add that the emphasis is, when it comes to noodles and spaghetti, everyone would say that gets them as onus, because aside from the fact that it's not called lechem, it doesn't have its suras harpas either. It doesn't have the form of bread. That's another very important principle that the post can throw out in this equation. So if it doesn't have its suras harpas, it doesn't have the form of bread, it's not going to get a hamotzi anyway. What's the din when it comes to bagels? Bagels? How are bagels made? Did you ever visit a bagel store? Right, they make a dough. Right, they form it into the bagel. Right, they don't take the whole, I don't think they take the whole out. I think it's just made as a circle. They take the whole out. It's a shock. But they definitely make a dough, and then they boil the dough. So you'd imagine that you should make a mezonos on bagels? No, chalila. You definitely make a hamotzi on bagels. Why? It is true that they cook the dough, but then they bake the dough. Right? They bake the dough. They put the dough on some, like a hot piece of metal or some hot brick or something, that they bake the bagel on it, then they turn it over to the other side. You know, it's baked. So even though it's cooked, that doesn't matter. The bishul is not going to prevent it from becoming lechem as long as there's an afi at the end. So because it starts as a blila oven and then it ends as an afi, of course it gets hamotzi. Of course it's going to be lechem. So there's a misconception. Sometimes some people think that bagels only get a mezonos. I think that's incorrect. Bagels should get a hamotzi because they're definitely called lechem, even though you do cook the dough, but there's an afia afterwards, so definitely it's called a lechem. Okay, that's the first example where you have a blila ova, but then only bishul, no afia. What's it then in the opposite case? Let's say you have a blila raka, then you have an afia, a batter, and then you bake it. What's the example of such an item? Cakes, right? Most cakes, sponge cake, chocolate cake. I don't mean to get you hungry, but right, all these cakes—they're made with a blila raka with an afia. So what's the din? Does that get a hamotzi? Does it get a mezonos? Well, what's the din over here? So first of all, what's the din? This is chala. What's the din regarding the chala for cakes? So most rishonim hold that as long as you have an afia, it's called lechem and it's chayav and chala. That's what most Rishonim hold. There is a Ramban, a very important Ramban, who holds that unless it also has a blila ava, it's not going to be called lechem. The Ramban holds you need svei dinim, two things. You need a blila ava and an afia. Reb Chaim thought that the halacha me'ikar adin is like the Ramban. And he says that's why many bakeries are making not to be mafresh chala on cakes. Even though they're making a lot. You know, you need a shear to be chayav to be mafresh challah, but the bakeries are certainly making enough. You know, whether it's 5 pounds or 2.5 pounds, whatever the shear, the particular shear is. But the bakeries are clearly making enough. They're making a lot of cake. So many bakeries have the custom not to be mafresh challah on their cakes. The question is, why not? They're mafresh challah on the bread, on the challah, but not on the cakes. Why not? The Chaim thought that they make for this Ramban, to assume that without both elements, without both ingredients, both factors, blila ava and afiyah, doesn't have a din lechem, it's no chayav and challah. But there are many who are machmir for the position of rov rishonim. Even if me'ikar adin, the Ramban might be right, but that's not the minhag. Rov rishonim assume that there is a chayav of challah. So because there is a chayav of challah, some have a minhag that when they have to look, there are some bakeries that are mafresh challah on the cakes. I'm not saying that every bakery doesn't, but now, some of the commercial bakeries, Entenmann's and others, I don't think they're mafresh challah. So some people, when they finish the cake, you know, so aside from the fact that a lot of people like to nibble, you like to nibble at the crumbs, so there are some people in Beshita don't nibble at the crumbs because they separate the crumbs to be mafresh challah. They leave over a little bit at the end and they say, whatever crumbs are left, that should be the challah on the rest of the cake. What? I don't know if like you have to burn it. You're going to be throwing it out anyway, so I don't know if you have to be machmer. I get what you're saying. Chalas chutzlarts would normally burn. I don't think that there's some machmer to burn the crops. But at least they're mafresh lechala, the mafrei, that should be chala what they ate before. They have it in mind from the beginning. Whatever is left is going to be chala. So just in case the Rav Yishonim are correct, there is a chiyuv chala, even though there was a blila raka, they'll be also with the pieces at the end. Now keep in mind, if it's not a blila raka, there are some entomans cakes that are not a blila raka, like a Danish or something like that. It's not a blila raka, right? So if it's a blila ova with afia, so then lechor it should be chayim and chal. Not so simple. Lechor that should be chayim and chal. What's the din regarding hamotzi, regarding bracha? So first glance you'd say, if Rav Yishonim hold that with hafiyah alone, it's called lechem for challah, so then for bracha you should get a hamotzi. What, the cake should get a hamotzi? Make hamotzi on sponge cake? The answer is, the reason why you don't make hamotzi on sponge cake is not because it's not lechem. Lechem is the first criterion that you have to satisfy to make a hamotzi on something. Regarding that, there is a comparison to challah. But it's not the only criterion. There are other criteria that you have to satisfy. Not everything that's lechem gets a hamotzi. What do I mean? So we all know there's a famous halacha that Gemara in Brachas and Daf Mefei says that on Pasa Bobekistin, you only make a bar mina mezonos unless you're kaveh suda. Pasa Bobekistin. What does that mean? That's the Gemara. Right? On Pasa Bobekistin, Broch is mezonos, not hamotzi. So what is possible to kiss then? That's a major, major machlokas rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Samachas, the Nilchas Brochas, Siv Zion, quotes three opinions in the rishonim about what possible to kiss then is. Some rishonim hold, it's a filled dough, like a pie. Right? Filled dough. That's the simple pshat in the words. Possible to kiss then. Kiss then is like Miloshon kiss, a pocket. Pocket. A filling. Right. So apple pie or cherry pie, Franks and blankets, right? According to this day, it would be possible to kiss them because it's a filled dough. That's one sheet in the Rishon. The Rambam holds that possible to kiss them is a sweetened dough. You have a sweetened dough, that's possible to kiss them. So cakes would fall under the rubric of possible to kiss them according to the Rambam. Right, it's a sweetened, it's not sweetened dough, but it's a sweetened batter. Right, it's not just a plain bread and water, flour and water, but rather it's sweetened flour and water. That's possible to kiss them, according to the Rambam. So if you take a dough and you knead it with honey, with fruit juices, with eggs, or something like that, or with honey cake, right? Honey cake, sponge cake, chocolate cake, that's possible to kiss them, according to the Rambam. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rav Haigon, who says that Pasva Bekistin is a thin wafer or cracker. A brittle wafer or cracker. Like breadsticks or pretzels or crackers or something like that. That's Pasva Bekistin, according to Rav Haigon. Three different sheetas as to what Pasva Bekistin is. Max?
So if someone puts chocolate chips in a challah batter, that would be not considered
chocolate chips in a challah batter, if the only thing there is the chocolate chips, so it's not that the dough is sweet. That's like a topping. Right. Raisin challah. No one would say raisin challah is not challah. We get a hamotzi because the challah itself is not sweet.
So, when you put crumbs on top, it's just a topping.
Right, that's just a topping. Right. Egg challah, how's the egg challah made? Is the eggs are put inside of it, inside of the challah? Can you taste the eggs? Tastes different than a water challah, but I don't think that's significant enough. I think you really have to be able to taste a certain sweetness in the dough in order for it to not to be viewed as pots. Yes?
So a lot of recipes add, how do you add sugar to the
challah?
You shouldn't be making...
No, I didn't say that. I said it depends whether you can taste the sugar. Is it sugar really? Is it a sweet, is it challah or is it cake? Sometimes people serve challah, mamash looks like cake. Right. Now, it could be on Shabbos, it's not a problem. Even if it's possible about the kistam, but if you're kovei asuda, you're going to make a hamotzi on it anyway. But chances are, for lechem mishnah, you probably should be making hamotzi on lechem, on real lechem, not on possibly taste it. I think in most circumstances, when you taste one of these challahs that are really sweet, it's because the topping has sugar on it. I think even if you add a little bit of sugar inside to the challah itself, it's not so significant, right? Is it rove of the ingredients? Rove of the ingredients? Probably not. I doubt it, right? So you're adding, I don't know, 10% sugar or something. It's one of the ingredients. But if it's not a significant amount, if it's not nicker, if the taste is not nicker in the dough, then that's not possible to kiss in the according to the Rambam. Shmuel.
If you have possible kissing, could you use that for the finish? Like, grab a cake, and I don't know,
right, so that's a shaylin. It's a shaylin poskim, if you can.
Yeah.
Shaylin poskim. Yeah.
Something else. I saw this type of challah. It's called a pretzel challah.
Okay. What does that mean?
It looks like a challah. It's just a little bit darker on the crust because there's thick salt on top, and it almost tastes like a hot pretzel.
Like a hot pretzel, or like a hard pretzel?
No, like a hot pretzel.
Oh. So we're going to have to talk about a hot pretzel. Maybe the broth on a hot pretzel should be hamosi? I don't know. Well, we have to talk about it. It's going to relate to your shaila. So hold your question and we'll get back to it. So comes the Beis Yosef and says that because there's a suffix in Rishon and what Tosfos Bekistin is, we're makel like all the shittas. This is a din derabbanan. Brach Rishon is a din derabbanan. It's a sfeik derabbanan lekula. So we can be makel that if something doesn't subscribe, if something subscribes to either one of the shittas, so then we'll only make a mezonos on that. We're not going to make a hamotzi unless we're kaveh asuda. Don't get me wrong, you do make a hamotzi on pasul b'kisne if you're kaveh asuda. Right? If you have a whole meal of cherry pie, you make it a stomachache, but you have to make a hamotzi too. Right? If you have a whole meal of crackers, whole meal of breadsticks, then you have to make a hamotzi on that. But that's only if you're kaveh asuda. So the Beis Yosef, but if you're not kaveh asuda, because we have a suffix, what pasul b'kisne is, we're going to make a mezonos on any one of these items. You have franks and blankets, but you're not kovei asuda, you make a mezonos. Cake, not kovei asuda, make a mezonos. Crackers, thin wafers, not kovei asuda. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that you make a mezonos. The first lent is very difficult. This sheet of, yes?
Does it make a difference how much that you're eating? Because some people can be kovei asuda on one piece, some people can be kovei asuda on two pieces. And the fact that that's meant to be kovei asuda, that requires not mozi, or...
So it could be that it has to be a significant suda. The fact that a person... No, if a person's kovei their breakfast on one Danish, so I'm not sure that that's called a kfiya suda. And it could be that we're talking about, you know, a significant meal. Well, we're going to talk about kfiya suda, what defines kfiya suda. But it could be that, you know, it's a significant kind of meal. There are some postmen that actually give a shear of gimel beitzim or dalet beitzim, a significant amount. So I'm not so sure that we can be megal for such a shita. It could be that even if you have less than that, if it's a significant amount, that you would be kovei asud on it, even if you're having a serious, you know, like supper. For most of us, supper is the ikar meal, not breakfast, not lunch. So even if you're having the same amount that you would consider this a supper, that might be enough to be called a kovei asud, even if it's not three or four beis. But we'll get to that, mitzvah. How to define kviya suda. L'chora, the Shulchan Aruch is difficult. He says that you can be megal for either one of any of these definitions. If something conforms to pasul b'kisne according to any of the definitions, only make a mezonos unless you kviya suda. L'chora, it's difficult. Why shouldn't the Shulchan Aruch say the exact opposite? That yirei shamayim yetzi dekula, don't eat any of these items outside of a bread meal. Because it's a sabek bracha. You might have to make a mezonos, you might have to make hamotzi, so only eat it in a bread meal. That's what the Shulchan Aruch should say. You have a suffix, so why? You might have to make a hamotzi, you might have to make a brichas hamazon, you're only going to make a mezonos ala michya. It could be a bracha levatola. So why didn't the Shulchan Aruch say, Yirei Shemayim Yetzi Deshneim, only eat these items that it's a suffix pasul b'kisne in a bread meal? What kind of a strange idea is this that the Shulchan Aruch says we can be making? So one answer that we can give is that, look, since Birchas Hanenin is only a din derabbanan, and the Rishonim have a debate as to what pasul b'kisne is, so we can be makel by this din derabbanan. Right? We're makel by the din derabbanan of Bracha Rishona, that any definition of pasul b'kisne is sufficient. So we'll make a mezonos on that. I have a Birchas Hamazon is a mitzvah d'araisa. We might be forfeiting a Birchas Hamazon that we're chayev, and so the answer might be that once we define, once the Chachamim are misakin to make a Dvarim in a mezonos on this item, So then there's no chiyuv to make a birchas hamazon. It's viewed as though there's no suffix vis-a-vis birchas hamazon. It's like it's a suffix derabanan that's nisgal galil suffix deraisa. It wasn't a suffix deraisa in the beginning. It's a suffix derabanan what to make in terms of birchas hamazon. So Chazal paskened up, so to speak. Sveik Rabbanan Lakula tells me Chazal paskin that we assume it's Passover Bekisn and it only gets a mezonos. So once it only gets a mezonos, so maybe we don't have to even look at it as a suffix birchas hamazon. Maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch has in mind. That the first suffix is vis-a-vis Baruch Rishon, that's only a Sveik Rabbanan. We can be Megal in that Sveik Rabbanan. Once we're Megal in that Sveik Rabbanan, then we don't have to be Machal for the suffix of birchas hamazon. That's one answer that's given. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha quotes from the Maimer Mordechai, one of the Gedolei Poskim, who says he doesn't think that that's the pshat. He doesn't think that the Shulchan Aruch is mekel midin suffik, but rather zok the Maimer Mordechai, he thinks that the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch are not mutually exclusive. The Shulchan Aruch is giving three possible definitions, but it's not like it's a klal that Passover Bekisten has to be one of these three items. No. The Rishonim gave examples of what Passover Bekisten is. They gave examples from their generations. Zoktamayim and Mordechai, what is Passover Bekisten? Passover Bekisten is something that's normally eaten as a snack. That's the issue. It's not that Passover Bekisten is one of these three definitions. Thin wafer, sweetened dough, filled dough. That's not the issue. These are just examples. The real yisod is Passover Bekisten is something that's eaten as a snack. Kinuach, it's eaten as a snack. It's not eaten as a suda. It's not a meal food. It's a kinuach food. It's a snack food. It's not a meal food. And that's why you don't make a hamotz in it unless you kaveh a suda. That's pshat in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is not mekel midin suffik. Shulchan Aruch is saying that on Passover Bekisten, the Torah's Vada, you're not going to make Hamotzi. If something is a snack food, then you don't make Hamotzi because it's Passover Bekisten. It might not fall under the rubric of these three definitions. It doesn't have to fall under the rubric of the three definitions. These are just examples. But every posek, every person has to apply the principle to their generation. If in their generation a particular item is called a snack food, then it gets a mezonos unless you kaveh a suda on it. Not every snack food, but meaning if it's made out of a dough, right? But it's a dough that's a snack food. It doesn't get a hamotzi unless you're kaveh suda on it. It'll only get a mezonos. If something is a meal food, so even if it falls under the rubric of these definitions, if in your generation something is a meal food, even if it's a filled dough, or even if it's a brittle cracker, even if it's a sweetened dough, then it'll get hamotzi, and it's not called Passover Bekisten. It's not that these definitions are mutually exclusive. These are the only definitions of Passover Bekisten. But rather, these are examples of the Maimon Mordechai. They're examples of snack food. The Rishonim were just talking about their own generations. But every person has to, every posek has to apply for their generations what's called Passover Bekisten. Something that's a snack food is Passover Bekisten. Something that's not a snack food is not Passover Bekisten. So if it's not a snack food, even if it looks like Passover Bekisten based on the definitions of the Shulchan Aruch, it'll still get a hamotzi. Even on a morsel. Just like if you eat a tiny amount of bread, you make a hamotzi. But if it is a snack food, then even if it's not one of the definitions of Passover Bekisten according to the Shulchan Aruch, it still will only get a mezonos unless you kaveh a suda. Okay, so that explains why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, oh, you should only eat these items in a suda because it's a suffix. That's not an issue of suffix. You have to figure out what's a meal food, what's a snack food. If it's a meal food, then it gets a hamotzi even on a small amount. And if it's a snack food, then it's Passover Bekisten. Even if it looks like one of the Passover Bekistens of the Shulchan Aruch, right? If it's a meal food, then even if it looks like one of the definitions of Passover Bekisten in the Shulchan Aruch, it gets a hamotzi even on a morsel. If it's a snack food, then even if it's not like one of the definitions of Passover Bekisten in the Shulchan Aruch, it still will only get a mezonos unless you kaveh a suda. Because the yisod is not that the Shulchan Aruch is to be taken literally, the dafka, this is Passover Bekisten, these are just examples. This is what the Maimer Mordechai suggests to explain the Shulchan Aruch, and others have pointed out that the Nesivis in his Haggadah Maisa Nisim, he also says the same thing. He has a hakdamah in his Haggadah where he has some halachas about birchas hanenes. He has the same yisod, that the three definitions of Passover Bekisten and the Shulchan Aruch are not binding. They're just a simen. A simen that these things are a snack food. So, the postman have to be koven. Every generation, what's called a snack? What's called a meal food? Whatever a snack food has a dinner pass for a vacation, gets a mazonas unless you koven a sud on it. Whatever is a meal food gets a hamotzi, even on a small amount. It doesn't matter whether it falls under the rubric of the pasuk of Bekesna the Shulchan Aruch or not. Those are only examples. Okay. Now, basically what emerges is whether you take the approach of the Maimon Mordechai or the Beis Yosef, right? Whether it's a suffix or not a suffix, still, you're not going to make a hamotzi on cake. Right? Because cake falls under the rubric of pasuk of Bekesna and Lefid Shulchan Aruch. But it also happens to be a snack food. It's not a meal food. No one eats cake for a meal. I guess some guys in the dormitory might do that. But, you know, most regular people don't make a meal out of a sponge cake. You know? You eat it as a snack. That's what cake is normally eaten as. So cake is possible because then, according to everyone. So that's why, even if we'll be machmir like those days in the Rishonim, vis-a-vis Hilchas Challah, that something made with a batter and a fia is called lechem. Right? So even if it will be machmir to be mafresh challah from something that was baked, even though it was made only with a batter, like a cake, a sponge cake, a chocolate cake, etc., you're not going to make a hamotzi out of sponge cake anyway. Because even if it's defined as lechem vis-a-vis challah, le'inyan brachas, it's also defined as lechem. It's called pas, but it's pasab of a kisnim. Pasav of a kisnim is a new status. So even though it is called lechem, it is called pas, it doesn't get a hamotzi of unless you kaveh a sud on it. Because that's the din of pasav of a kisnim. That basically what pasav of a kisnim teaches me is there are some types of lechem that don't get a hamotzi unless you kaveh a sud on it. They'll only get a mazonos. Okay? But something like donuts, as we mentioned before, right, so donuts might be made with a blila ova, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's not going to get a hamotzi anyway, because it's not baked. If it's not baked, it's not going to get a hamotzi. Spaghetti and noodles are not going to get a hamotzi. That we understand. And not because of pasuk of a kistin, but rather because since they're cooked, there's no baking at all. They're cooked, and there's no tzuras on pas, then they're not going to get a hamotzi. Okay? So that's why all these items just get a mazonos, you don't get a hamotzi. Part of this relates to the definition of lechem. Part of it relates to Tzuras HaPas, and part of it relates to the din of Pasa Baba Kisne. Yes, Max.
You plan the way I assume, and then you end up eating the whole cake, and then you have to save your
Pasa. Yes, if you don't plan to, you're saying you don't plan to eat a full cake.
And then you end up eating
right, so then it could be that when you're getting toward the end of the cake and you realize that it's going to be a Kfiya Suda, you should make a Hamotzi on that, because then you are going to be Kofiya Suda on it.
What if you realize afterwards?
You would make a birchas hamazon anyway, even if you didn't wash, because there is a chiyuv. Chalta v'savata v'rachta. If you have an achila, there's a kedei svia. If you're kaveh asu, then you would make a birchas hamazon. Okay, so we said there's no nafkamina between the Maimon Mordechai and Beis Yosef vis-a-vis cake. So what is the nafkamina? What does it matter? How we define pasuk of a kisnim? The answer is yes. It's very, very important. There are two nafkamina between the Beis Yosef and the Maimon Mordechai. The two nafkamina are, first of all, let's say you have something that is not included within the three definitions of Pasuk Bekisn according to the Shulchan Aruch, but it's only eaten as a snack food. Again, it's not one of the definitions of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's only eaten as a snack food. So according to the Beis Yosef, if it's made out of a dough, and it doesn't fall under the rubric of Pasuk Bekisn as the Shulchan Aruch defines it, then it would get a hamotzi. According to the Maimon Mordechai, if it's a snack food, it doesn't get a hamotzi unless you kaveh asud on it. Doesn't matter that it's made out of a dough and it's baked. What's an example of this? Soft pretzels. Soft pretzels are made out of a dough. And they're baked. They should be bread. They're literally bread. So why do many people make mazonos on soft pretzels? Because they assume it's snack food. So if it's snack food, it's not called lechem vis-a-vis hamotzi. Right, but that's the shaila that we're talking about. It doesn't fall under the rubric of pasuk of a kisnim according to any of the shitas. It's not a filled dough, it's not a sweet dough, and it's not a hard, brittle cracker. So at first glance, it's bread. It's just, it looks like a pretzel, but it's really bread. So it should get a hamotzi. So according to those who follow the Shulchan Aruch's definition of Pasul Bekidush, the Beis Yosef's understanding of himself, of the Shulchan Aruch, right, that it's a function of Sofeg. These are the definitions of Pasul Bekidush then. So then, what should come out is you should make a hamotzi on soft pretzels. According to the Maimon Mordechai, it makes sense that you only make a mezonos on pretzels because it's just lekinuach, it's a snack food. So you only make a mezonos on it unless you're kaveh suda. The other nachmina would be the reverse situation. Let's say you have something that's normally a meal food. It's a meal food. But it does fall under the rubric of one of the three definitions of Pasul Bekidush in the coin of the Shulchan Aruch. What's an example of that? Can you think of it? Well, we'll get the pizza. Right? That's the kicker. That's the final word. But before we get to the kicker, let's get to something else. It's going to be quite relevant in the next few weeks. Matzah. What's the bracha on matzah? What do you think? Based on the yesodas that we've developed. So the chora, according to the Beis Yosef's understanding, if Pasul Bekidush is anything that falls under the rubric of one of the three definitions, matzah should be Pasul Bekidush. So if you eat a little bit of matzah, and you're not kaveh suda, then you should make a mezonos. Right? So many ask, it's a famous question, why do Ashkenazim make a hamotzi on matzah? The whole year, not just on Pesach. Even on a very small piece of matzah. People make a hamotzi, it's like bread. Or it's possible to kiss in the point of the third day of the Shulchan Aruch. In fact, the Sfaradim, as far as I know, make a mezonos on matzah the whole year. Now, on the Seder night, even the Sfaradim make a hamotzi. But why? Because since there's a chiyuv to eat matzah on the Seder night, because of kavod chova, right? So it has an extra chashivus on the Seder night. So the Seder night is different, the Sfaradim hold. Since there's a mitzvah ba'erev kochel matzah, so there's a chiyuv to eat matzah, that's how we define the suda on Pesach night, so it's not possible to kiss then. It has a new chashivus. There's a special chashivus on the Seder night. But the Sfaradim say, not on the Seder night, it won't have that chashivus. It's possible to kiss then. Possible to kiss then. You only get some mezonos. Come the Ashkenazim and say, no, you make a hamotzi kol hashana kula on matzah. So why do we do that? According to the Maimon Mordechai, it's beautiful, because the pshat is we normally eat matzah as part of a meal. It's not a snack food. Matzah is not a snack food. If it's not a snack food, it's not pas of a bekistin. It's pas. If it's pas, you should make a hamotzi, even if you're not kovei asud, if you have a little bit. And based on that yisod, what should emerge is, let's say a person eats matzah crackers. You've heard of such a concept, matzah crackers? Like some cracker companies make these matzah crackers. What should the bracha be on matzah crackers? So based on this yisod, the bracha matzah crackers should be mezonos. Because most people are not eating the matzah crackers as a meal. Eat the matzah crackers, you know, as a snack. It's a snack. Well, even if you're eating it as part of breakfast or something, but it's not a meal. I don't eat matzah crackers as, you know, the staple in the meal. So it could be that there's a big difference between matzah and matzah crackers. The bracha matzah might be hamotzi, even if you eat a small amount, but the bracha matzah crackers, that if you're kovei asud on it, it's like every other cracker. If you're kovei asud on it, then you do make hamotzi, but if you're not kovei asud, then you don't make hamotzi because it's pasul bekidush. And this is what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in his Tshuvas Har Tzvi. He says that the bracha matzah crackers is mezonos because it's pasul bekidush. Even though Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was one of the Ashkenazi poskim, he would say that the bracha on matzah, a real regular matzah, would be hamotzi. Yes? So mezonos rolls are a big shiloh. The truth is they're actually not such a big shiloh. Right? People are mistaken to think that mezonos rolls get mezonos, as the name would indicate, but... So there are two reasons why mezonos rolls should probably get a hamotzi. First of all, it's not so clear that you can taste the difference between mezonos rolls and regular rolls or bagels, whatever. Meaning there's not enough eggs in there. There's not enough fruit juice in there to really make a difference. That's issue number one. Secondly, if you're eating it as part of a meal, you have the roll with the food. So it could be that that's a kviya suda. If it's a kviya suda, even if it's possible to kiss, then you'll still have to make a hamotzi. So some actually eat the roll separately. They'll eat the meal without the roll, and they'll eat the roll later. Because they'll assume that the roll is possible to kiss them, because it has some kind of fruit juice or whatever. But they still realize that if they kovei hasuda on the roll, they didn't solve any problem. They have to make a hamotzi on it anyway, so they eat the roll later. But others point out, you really have to determine whether the roll has enough fruit juice or enough eggs in it that it really is called a sweetened dough. It's just, you know, a small amount, it might not be significant enough. But there are takasam companies that make mezonos rolls with a lot of apple juice in it. So if you can really taste it, so then it is possible to kiss them. It would be possible to kiss them. But again, it would only be possible to kiss them according to that one day. Right? If normally mezonos rolls are eaten as a meal, the only reason why you make it with the apple juice is that you only have to make a mezonos, so that's still called a meal food. So according to the Maamar Mordechai, you still have to make hamotzi on it. It's not possible to kiss it because it's a meal food. So it's not at all clear that these mezonos rolls are only going to get a mezonos. It's really fraught with much difficulty.
So
yes?
Ashkenazi make hamotzi on matzah. Doesn't that mean that generally we hold like the Maamar Mordechai and we should think?
Oh, that's the kicker. That's what I'm getting to. So what it seems, you know, if we put two and two together, what it seems is though the machlokas, the Ashkenazim in the Sfaradim is had a paskin over here in this Shaila. Right? The Sfaradim seem to be following the Beis Yosef, like they probably would, right? The Sfaradim follow the Beis Yosef that Pasuk B'Kistin is dependent on the three definitions. So it's dependent on the three definitions, and anything that doesn't fall under that rubric, anything that falls under that rubric, like matzah, will get a mezonos. So unless you convey a suda, then you're not going to make a hamotzi. Except the Seder night, because on the Seder night it has a special status, and that's why you would make a hamotzi. So there are Beis Yosef men. The fact that the Ashkenazim assume that on matzah generally you make a hamotzi, except matzah crackers, so it sounds like the Maamar Mordechai. It sounds like they're assuming that it's all a function of what's a meal food, what's a snack food. If it's a snack food, then it's possible to kiss then, and it gets a mezonos unless you convey a suda. If it's a meal food, it gets a hamotzi. So that leads us to the final point, and that is, what's the bracha on pizza? What's the bracha on pizza? So we know that the minhag for many years has been that on two slices of pizza, you make a mezonos. Anything more than two slices, you make a hamotzi. And some have even pointed out that anything more means not only if you eat three slices of pizza, but if you have two slices with French fries, you also might have to make a hamotzi, because it could be that kviya suda is not only defined by the pas that you're eating, by the pas of the kiss that you're eating, but even other items. We'll get to that next week in Mitzvah. Okay, so, but that's the old minute. The old minute was that on two slices of pizza, you make a mezonos, but anything more, you make a hamotzi. They say Rav Moshe pasken like that, but it's not in a tshuva anywhere. But that's what they say. Rav Moshe felt that they showed him pizza, and he said that on two slices, it's not kviya suda, you make a mezonos, anything more, you make a hamotzi. Many poskim, Bizmana said, disagree. Rabbi Shechter disagrees, Rabbi Willig disagrees. And they would say Rabbi Moshe Paskin in his generation, maybe like a pizza in the 70s or in the 60s, was only a snack food. I think most people, when they sit down in a pizza school to eat pizza, they're not eating it as a snack. They're eating it as a meal. So many poskim assume that if pizza has become a meal food, so then it's not possible to kiss them anymore. So then you should make a hamotzi even on a morsel of pizza. Even on half a slice of pizza. Forget about two slices. Even on half a slice. It's like bread. Just like if you have a small piece of bread, you make a hamotzi. Rabbi Shach and Rabbi Willer would both say that if you have a small piece of pizza, you also make a hamotzi. It's pas. It's filled. So what? But it's a meal food. The Maamar Mordechai is right that the whole question is whether something is defined as a meal food or a snack food. So Bizman Azeh, that pizza is a meal food, l'chor you should make a hamotzi, even on a morsel of pizza. And that's how many, many poskim assume. In fact, just to bring it home, basically there's a kula and a chumra over here. The bracha on a soft pretzel and the bracha on pizza, l'chor are dependent on each other. If someone is going to make a mezonos on a soft pretzel, then they're basically assuming that the Maamar Mordechai is correct. Because if you're assuming like the Beis Yosef, a soft pretzel is not part of the definition of possible kistin. So you'd have to make a hamotzi on that, even for a small amount. So anyone who's making a mezonos on a soft pretzel, and I think most of us are, right? If you're making a mezonos on a soft pretzel, you have to be assuming that possible kistin is not defined only by the three definitions of Shulchan Aruch, but rather it's a function of what's a meal food, what's a snack food. Since soft pretzels are a snack food, so we make a mezonos on soft pretzels. But if you hold that the Maamar Mordechai is right, and that's why you make a mezonos on the soft pretzels, so it's highly questionable to assume that pizza is pasul b'kisnin, unless you assume that it's not a meal food. I think most would assume that it is a meal food. Most times when you sit down for pizza, you're not sitting down for a snack. I know if you have only one slice, people would say, well, that's a snack. Okay, well, one slice is a snack. But I think most times when a person sits down to have pizza, he's having a meal. He's going to have his two slices. And if he's a tall guy, you know, if he's a big guy, he's going to have more than two slices. Have the two slices with the french fries with one. He's sitting down to have a meal. That's what pizza is. So that's what pizza is. If the Maimon Mordechai is right, since pizza is a meal food, l'chorot should get a hamotzi even for a small amount. Because if you say that it gets a mezonos unless you kaveh suda, so then why don't you make a hamotzi on the soft pretzel? Right? The bracha on the soft pretzel and the pizza have to go hand in hand, l'chorot. So if you assume that the kaveh is what is a meal food, what's a snack food, so then the bracha on pizza should be hamotzi even if you have a small amount, and the bracha on the soft pretzel should be a mezonos. If you're going to make a mezonos on pizza, unless you're kaveh asuda, then l'chor you should make a hamotzi on the soft pretzel. Questions? Yeah.
So
Svardim would make a mezonos on pizza if they have only two slices. Yes.
Would they make hamotzi on the pretzel?
I guess they would have to according to this logic. I don't know. You got to ask the Svardim what bracha they make on the soft pretzel, right? Good child. Don't know. Yes. Excellent. I wasn't going to mention it because I didn't want to complicate matters, but that's very good. There are others who claim that maybe there's another reason why pizza should get a hamotzi. That is that the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Samaches Sif Yud Zayin talks about pashtida. Pashtida is a filled dough. It's filled with meat with fish, with something like that. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it gets a hamotzi. Hamotzi and birchas hamazon. Now that's the same Shulchan Aruch that says that if a pasul of a kisnin, you only make a mezonos unless you kaveh asuda. Well, what's going on here? That's a filled up. So why shouldn't it be pasul of a kisnin? So some of the achronim want to say, no, pashtida is different because that's something that you're filling with meal type items. Pasul of a kisnin is you're filling the dough with sweeteners, cherry filling, apple pie, right? Sweet, sweet stuff. That's lakinua. That's pasul b'kisnin. But if you fill something with fish, with meat, with something like, you know, with cheese, right? So that's not pasul b'kisnin. That's a meal food. There's nothing to talk about. So some say, well, that's what pizza is, right? You're filling the pizza with cheese. Cheese is a meal food. That's not a snack. It's not snack food. It's not the sweeteners. So maybe even according to the definition of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not pasul b'kisnin. That's the real kicker. Right? Maybe even according to the Shulchan Aruch's definition of pasul b'kisnin, it's not going to be pasul b'kisnin. Because it's not filled with sweeteners. It's filled with meal-type food. With fish, with meat, with cheese. Right? I mean, our pizza is not with meat, right? There. We do have pizza with meat and cheese. We don't do that kind of thing, right? But cheese is also a meal-type food. So that might not be the pasul b'kisnin that even the Shulchan Aruch was talking about. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Look, they're different shittas. And I'm not saying that those who have the minig to make a mezonos on pizza, if they only have two slices, are doing wrong. It is a minig. There's a large segment of the Jewish community that has that minig. But if you put two and two together, the svaras together, many posts have pointed out, it just doesn't match up. It doesn't check off. Doesn't check off. So maybe the psak should be a little different. You have to be mevara to find out exactly what the halacha should be. Just one final point, okay? What's the din in the following case? Based on the definitions we've given for what pasul b'kisnin means, the different machlokas in Maimon Mordechai and the Beis Yosef, what should be the din in the following case? Let's say someone eats pasul b'kisnin for dessert. Cake for dessert. It can happen, right? Some don't. You know, if they're on a diet, they won't. But most others do eat cake for dessert. Right? Crackers for dessert. Right? You eat cake for dessert. What's the din? Do you make a bracha on that enough? It's a machlokas rishon. Rishonim have a debate. Let's say you have pasul b'kisnin. B'sol hasuda. It's in the middle of the meal. But shalom machmas hasuda. You're not having it for muslim. You're not having it to satisfy you. You're having it as a kinuach. It's in the meal. You're not having it stop. It's part of the meal. Meaning you've made a hamotzi. It made a hamotzi, but now you're having pasul of a kisna, shalom achmas hasuda. Do you make a mizonos on that? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, simin kuf samaches, sifches, that if you eat pasul of a kisna, shalom achmas hasuda, besoch hasuda, you do make a bracha of mizonos. It's not exempted with the birchas hamotzi. You have to make a mizonos on that, if it's pasul of a kisna. So comes the Bir Aloch and says, well, I think you only make a mezonos on it if it's pasul b'kisdin l'chol adeis. If it satisfies all three definitions, so then if you're eating it at the end of the meal, it's not machmas hasuda, so then you'll make a mezonos on it. But if it only satisfies one of the definitions, so then savik brachas l'hokel. It might be exempted through the pas. How is it exempt? What's the subject that it's exempted through the pas? It might not be pasul b'kisdin, it might be pas gomor. So it might be exempted to the Birchas HaMotzi. So if it only satisfies one of the definitions of Pasul B'Kisna, says the Mishnah Berurah, I don't think you should make a brach on it. Because who knows, it might be Pas Gomer, and then it's exempted to the HaMotzi. So says the Mishnah Berurah, I think only if it satisfies all three definitions. What's that?
Pie.
I'm sorry?
Pie.
Pie, exactly. Apple pie. Right? Apple pie is a filled dough. The dough is sweetened, and the dough is like a cracker. It's a little brittle. Not this, like the center gets a little mushy, but on the sides, it's definitely a cracker type thing. So if you have apple pie, the poskim say, definitely make a mezonos according to the Mishnah Berurah if you have apple pie for dessert. The question is, if you hold like the Maamar Mordechai, the pasul of the kisna is a function of what's a snack or what's a meal food, so then what should be the din? According to the Mishnah Berurah, if I have cake, I have sponge cake, so that doesn't fall under the rubric of pasul b'kisna according to all the dayos. Only apple pie does. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, someone has sponge cake, she does not make a mezonos at the end of the meal. Right? It doesn't make a mezonos, because it could be exempted through the pasul, might not be pasul b'kisna. But if you hold like the Maamar Mordechai, the pasul b'kisna is a function of what is the nature of the food. Is it a meal food or a snack food? Cake is a snack food. That's what we're assuming. Cake is a snack food. So if cake is a snack food, it's pasul b'kisna. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it should get a mezonos. You should have to make a mezonos on cake. Right? You're eating it besoch hasuda, shalom achmas hasuda. It's not part of the meal, shalom achmas hasuda, but you're eating it in the meal. So l'chora, it should get a mezonos. Rabbi Shechter happens to hold that yes, if you eat sponge cake at the end of the meal for dessert, it gets a mezonos. Because he's a purist. He says, following his shita, you follow the Maamar Mordechai, so then honey cake, you know, any kind of sponge cake, is pasul b'kisna for sure. It's not a suffix, it's pasul b'kisna. So the rule is, you eat pasul b'kisna for dessert, it gets a mezonos. L'chora, that should be the din. That should be the din. Against the Mishnah Berurah, that should be the din. Rabbi Willig disagrees, though. The minig is not to make a mezonos on a sponge cake. So why is that? Rabbi Willig is against the wall, right? Because if he holds like the Maamar Mordechai, and sponge cake is a snack-type food, so l'chora should get a mezonos. So he suggests, he thinks the reason why the minig is not to make a mezonos on cakes when you eat them for dessert is because there's a tzirif hashitas. Tzirif hasvaras. He says, first of all, sometimes it's not l'kin nuach baum. It's not just for dessert. Sometimes people leave room for dessert. You know, if you come to my home, you'll see my kids leave room for dessert. They'll eat just a little bit, then they'll go play, and they'll come. Oh, dessert will come back. What happened to the meal? No. For dessert, I have room. They eat very little, and then they eat dessert. So sometimes dessert is not really extra. It's really part of the meal. So if it's part of the meal, then it really is exempted with the hamotzi. So it could be that the minhag developed because it's sometimes hard to know why you're eating the cake. Maybe you're talking eating the cake as part of the meal. It's machmas hasuda. It's not shalom machmas hasuda. It's for the meal. You're eating it as part. You're eating it for mazon. You're eating it for mazon. So then, of course, it's going to be exempted through the bread, just like every other food item that you eat part of the meal is exempted through bread. That's one svara he wanted to say. But he said the other point is that some rishonim argue with the Shulchan Aruch outright. Some rishonim claim that if you eat pasul b'kisna and shalom achmas hasuda, besoch hasuda, you don't make a brach on it. As long as it's besoch hasuda, you're eating it up as part of the meal, even if it's for dessert, you don't make a brach on it. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you eat it for dessert, you do make a brach, but not everyone agrees. Rabbi Willig wanted to say that because of its tzirif of these two svaris, And first of all, we don't know if it's for kinuach. Maybe it's really part of the meal. Maybe it's for mazon because you left room for the cake at the end of the meal. And there are some rishonim who hold that you make a bracha on pasuk b'kisnan even if it comes only for kinuach. So again, there are some rishonim who say you don't make a bracha on pasuk b'kisnan if it comes for kinuach. You don't make a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch says that you do make a bracha on pasuk b'kisnan if it comes for kinuach. He just doesn't know what pasuk b'kisnan is. But there are some rishonim who say that you don't make a bracha on pasuk b'kisnan even if it comes for kinuach. Rabbi Willig therefore thought that maybe that's the minhag that you wouldn't make a bracha on cake. So there's this machlokas Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Shechter, what's the halacha if you're having cake at the end of the meal? They both hold like the Maimon Mordechai that generally pasuk b'kisnan is not subject to the definitions of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? It's subject to what's called a meal food, what's called a snack food. But there's this debate over here in terms of eating cake for dessert. Would we say that once you eat, that we follow the Shulchan Aruch straight, we follow the Shulchan Aruch into the fire when it comes to eating pasuk b'kisnan for dessert, and we would hold that if you're eating pasuk b'kisnan for dessert, it does get a separate bracha. So if you define cake as pasuk b'kisnan because it's a snack food, of course it would get a bracha. That's Rabbi Shachter's position. Rabbi Willig holds no, that there are some Rishonim who hold that if you eat pasuk b'kisnan for dessert, it doesn't get a bracha. It is exempted through bread. Then even if the Shulchan Aruch argues, the fact is sometimes it's not so clear if you're eating it for dessert or if you're eating it to be satisfied as part of the meal. So therefore, Rabbi Willig feels that you shouldn't make a bracha on cake that's eaten for dessert. Okay.